The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying hands on them. He was amazed at the lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. Happy 4th of July. Nice to see so much red, white, and blue out there. Beautiful day, I think. Family barbecues with friends and whatnot. We're going to have a great day. But in the gospel today, Jesus doesn't seem to be having a great day. What happened was Jesus had left Nazareth and kind of done a few miracles. And when he was coming back to Nazareth, instead of a great welcome, he got rejected. We have to kind of maybe put ourselves a little into the heart of Jesus, into his life experience there, to understand just what that actually meant for him. You see, when the Holy Trinity was up in heaven and they were looking down on the earth and seeing kind of the mess we had made and how they were going to clean up that mess, what they were going to do, Jesus the Son said, "I will go, I will become one of them, and I will die for their sins." And so Jesus came, but he didn't come, you know, like on a cloud with power and might and thunder and lightning and legions of angels to protect him and to wipe out God's enemies. He came as a little baby. He chose to just be born, not even in a nice place. It was Bethlehem in a stable. He chose to be one of us in the grittiness of the human experience. Shortly after he was born, the Holy Family goes to Nazareth, and there he chose to grow up in an ordinary way. If you think about what it must have been, what a blessing for those people of Nazareth for all those years. At a certain point, there was a little boy running in the streets playing games with the other boys, but that little boy wasn't just an ordinary boy. He was God. And they saw him grow up. He was helping Joseph with the carpentry shop, and maybe some of their homes were blessed where Jesus came in with Joseph and the two of them maybe fixed a window or a door or something. Like, God was in their home fixing up their home. They didn't see it, though. And then later on, they would be in the synagogue and praying with their hands like this. And right next to them, there would be Jesus also praying to his Father. But in some mysterious way, their prayers were also being heard by Jesus. They were praying to him, even though he was right at their shoulder. Right? That was an amazing experience for Nazareth, to be so blessed that way. And you can imagine his pain when he goes off one day. He says goodbye to Mary, and he goes to Cana, and he does that miracle with the wine, and he goes to Capernaum and does miracles, and word gets back to Nazareth that Jesus, the young man from your town, he's the Messiah, and he's doing miracles. And you'd think they'd be happy, but they were indignant. They were kind of in disbelief. No way. Jesus, we know him. He can't be God. He can't be the Messiah. So when Jesus returns, there was this rejection, but it wasn't just that they didn't have faith. It was they didn't believe and they didn't want to believe. They were probably looking at Jesus saying, if you're really the Messiah, you know, do a miracle here. Turn these stones into bread. Ha ha, as they laughed among themselves, knowing Jesus couldn't possibly do that. It wasn't a very nice welcome. You see, in some way, it seems like these Jewish people in Nazareth, when they thought about God and the Messiah coming, they wanted one to come off of the clouds with lightning and thunder and wipe out the Romans, destroy God's enemies, and just solve all their problems in the blink of an eye. And the idea that God would come and be ordinary and hidden among them wasn't the God they wanted. Now, Jesus, you can imagine some of that pain in his heart. He was coming, but he wanted to say to them, no, I came because I want to be among you. I want to be one of you. I want to know what it is to live the human life, to laugh and to love and to taste and feel and to see colors and to just be with us, alongside us. He's also revealing that, you know, in who is God? He's our Heavenly Father for everyone. He didn't want to just wipe out the Romans. He wanted to convert them. Jesus' message was, you know, you're the nation of the Jewish people, but now we're going to become one nation all together, the Gentiles and the pagan Romans as well, and you're going to be brothers and sisters together. This is a beautiful plan. But they didn't want it. They wanted a God who would just solve their problems right away. They wanted a shortcut, you could say, through life. Now, I want to say something that might be a little difficult to hear, right? One of you said to me after a homily, he said, Father, you don't really do fire and brimstone, but it doesn't mean it's not sometimes right to the heart, right? And sounds nice, but I'm going to say something that's going to be a little tough to hear, okay? I hope you're ready for it. And hopefully I don't get kicked out like Jesus in Nazareth, okay? What I want to say is, so often we can look for shortcuts through life. We beg God for miracles, and God's answer to us might be something a little different. Let me give you an example. Suppose you're one of our college students. You are studying. You have a whole semester, and you haven't really studied. You get to the exam time and you're begging God for a miracle to help you on your test, right? But God also gave you the gift of life and your freedom to use each and every day to study a little bit so that when you get to the exam, you don't have to be begging for a miracle. Or perhaps your marriage is kind of on the rocks and it's not going well, and you beg God for his intervention to just solve the problems. But you also had 10 years of life where you skipped the date night every week and you got distracted with other things. You stopped falling in love over and over again with your spouse. You see, you can beg God for that miracle, but maybe there's a daily, ordinary life that he wants to also be a part of. Perhaps one of your children has left home and they come back for the holidays and they say to you on Sunday morning, you know, Mom and Dad, I don't believe in that stuff anymore. I'm not going to church. And you can beg God for a miracle that somehow your child will come back to the faith, and yet growing up, maybe you didn't really live that faith yourself in a way that made it attractive and beautiful, and it's no wonder maybe they said no to the faith. Now, I know those are hard things to hear, right? But there's an ordinariness of God in our lives, a hiddenness that if we embrace that and we become part of this journey with Jesus through life, things can be so different. You see, Jesus still wants to be with us in a hidden way. He comes to every Catholic church and he's in our tabernacles in a hidden way, but he's truly there. And how often we drive by the road in Providence and we don't even think about it, right? We can find him here. We can find him in the scriptures. We can find him in our neighbor and our family. There's this beautiful journey of life that when he's a part of it, you don't end up having to beg for miracles and shortcuts all throughout life. Now, what can you do if you're saying, well, I'm at the point where I need a miracle, right? Well, I'm not saying don't pray for miracles. Keep doing that as well. But the Christian life is actually so beautiful because it can be so simple and ordinary. It's, you know, taking care of your child each and every day is a lot of work, but what a gift it is to do that. And the blessedness of our life is that in those ordinary things of changing a diaper, right, you can be doing that not in just an ordinary way, but through God's grace, that is helping you become a saint. That is bringing Christ into the world. You see, we have a lot of saints that did a lot of crazy things like, you know, levitate in prayer and do miracles, but I feel like sometimes we don't do enough justice to the ordinary saints among us, the dads who simply spent time with their child. That's a saint. The spouses that truly love each other in the good times and the bad times, that's what it means to be a saint. See, it's not that hard. All right, that was kind of maybe a tough homily to hear. But I think God is with us. Let us give thanks for the ordinary hidden ways where each day God blesses us and is at our side, so that let's not be like those Jewish people back in Nazareth that had God shoulder to shoulder with them and were completely oblivious to that and never saw him, even though he was right there before their eyes. Let us pray for that gift of faith. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.